what's going on?
Tally ho, I don't get it.
Cut. Oh, dear.
Like,
dear,
are we starting again?
No, let's go with it. Keep going. I think it's fantastic.
Greetings, pals. How are you?
Welcome to the podcast, Throw on the Power. My name is Frank.
My name's Tom.
I'm fucking depressed to be here.
It's a short this doesn't seem to be rewarding for you anymore, Frank, which is wild because we've taken a long break and you already seem sick of it.
I am.
Yeah,
I am. Like, I'm not gonna dance around. We're talking about hyperlink rom-coms.
Okay.
Do you want to explain that to the listener?
No, I think rom-coms. What language is that you're speaking before we go any further? Is that
well, hyperlink cinema is a style of filmmaking categorized by complex or multi-linear sort of narrative structures, etc.
Oh, with multiple characters under one unifying theme, for instance?
Yeah, usually, you know, like I want to watch movies with ensemble casts, intertwined stories, different characters, and they reveal later that they're all connected to one another.
Well,
I prefer romances.
such films include Love Actually, etc.
Well, Frank read it, so it must be true.
Yeah. What are we going for, actually? So
Frank, Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve.
20 seconds before we started recording, Frank frantically Googled rom-com hyperlink and now is reading directly from a Reddit thread.
Aren't you proud of me for reading so
clearly?
This
is what this episode is.
Calmly?
Yes. Yes. These are movies in which there are a variety of different characters, tends to be ensembles, and there's like interconnectedness. It's kind of weird because hyperlink cinema used to be stuff like...
You literally... Like, that's what we just said, Thomas.
No, but I'm
like,
just... Can I go a little bit further? Thank you, Francis. Just don't do this again, all right? We've already... This is already our... This is our second take because of your bullshit,
because
right?
I can't take it.
Now, hyperlink cinema back in the day used to refer to like traffic or, you know, No, I say the word traffic and Frank is just like, oh, there's so many bits I could do there if I wasn't fucking drinking while Tom was in the middle of explaining it. Movies that used to feature like interconnected characters in different worlds and like it became like prestige cinema for a little while. And
does Cloud Atlas count?
Yeah, I think so, actually. And that's a good episode of a good example of a later one that's good. I like that.
Does Pulp Fiction count?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Pulp Fiction is really kind of a bit of a progenitor for it.
Here we go. Mr. Anti-Tarantino.
Doesn't count for shit. $5 for a milkshake? It's pretty fucking good.
That's a good milkshake. So who wants to go first on this? Because you know that this is not a genre of film that I'm particularly into.
Well, but we've talked about Love Actually. We literally have done one of the, like... benchmarks and possibly like kind of the most seminal example of a movie with a British ensemble cast where there are connections between family and, you know, people that are all linked up in some way. Mm. And it's silly, but it's a bit of fun and it's taken on a sort of like legacy, you know? So that's
the romance variant of this is what I'm not really super into unless it's done really, really well. I get maybe
he's just
maybe
not that into hyperlink rom-coms.
Hey, yeah, that's true.
It. Yeah, that's it. What to expect when you're not going to enjoy it.
Even the holiday, the
movie 40. Like, not for me.
The sorry, holiday's a condensed version of that, though. Like it's a
the holodont.
Okay, but also
I'm going to stop.
Thomas, you're referencing movie 43. That's a sketch film. That's like parody.
Yeah, I know, but it's on the Reddit thread that you literally had up on the screen. So I'm just going to go ahead and count it.
So you're going to take everything you know from Reddit and trust
it wholeheartedly. You just read someone else's post word for word to introduce the episode. Yeah, I might as well piggyback off that. I guess.
Piggyback. I'm sorry.
Piggyback.
Oh, I love it when you two fight. It's great.
We're not fighting.
Yeah. We fucking love each other. Just like the characters in Gary Marshall's Valentine's Day.
So I'm going to take a back seat on this and I'm going to not be as cynical as I generally would be, but I do want to know what the point is you're trying to make with these particular films. What's your stance on it?
Why did they exist and why do they not exist anymore? And why were they the biggest thing ever in cinema and now they're fucking terrible? In fact, everything after Love Actually was kind of terrible.
I think Gary
Marshall's... argue he's just not...
Sorry, you go, Frank. I apologize.
I would argue that he's just not that into you is great, but has such a hit in this cast. So it's
so
well, that's terrible.
So many adjectives available there, and he's like, I'm going to go with great. That movie is of a high caliber.
In fact, no, it's not, but Justin Long and the... Oh, my gosh.
Martin Short, I think.
Martin Short and Steve Martin.
It's Short and Long are in that one together. because of their stature.
Tom, you are classically railroading this entire episode.
I'm very much taking the Loki angle here, where I'm just being the little demon trickster.
Does the Avengers count as a hyperlink?
Sure. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I guess,
and that's the best of them. That's the best. Yeah. They're the best of us.
In the sense that you can read the Wikipedia entry for it and enjoy it just as much. It is
how annoying that you've somehow linked this to Marvel again.
Yeah, you're so hyper with your links, Frank. What are you wearing, deodorant for a 15-year-old? Hyperlinks. Okay.
I said that obviously in the Love Actually episode, my biggest issue is that there was too much going on and you could have easily cut the stories in half. I reckon five stronger stories rather than 10 and flesh them out a bit more. And I feel like this was that. Right.
This was a moment in film, you know, just consensus of like, this is what we do. This is fun. You throw a bunch of names on the poster and it'll get people to the movies. It'll make money. So it's like, it was the way to have a blockbuster success without really having to do that much work.
Not much,
you know, all the actors are doing, you know, they had 2 weeks on set. They, you know, what's her name? Lea Michele's stuck in an elevator, so she had to do
with
2 days'
Kutcher.
Work. You know, and she's backing up singing for Bon Jovi, you know.
Obviously
massive.
The biggest rock star on the planet, no notes. Absolutely.
Incredible choice. Incredible choice.
It is. So those are the Gary Marshall. I think the answer to the question, why were they so big? The answer is kind of Gary Marshall. And it's also he struck gold early with Valentine's Day, where it's like, well, yeah, that's actually, regardless of if it's a shitty movie, that's a good idea. Couples will go to the cinema on Valentine's Day. They will watch a star-studded movie that they don't have to think too hard about and might give them a brain bleed, but whatever. Like, it will achieve its basic goals.
I've got a take on this, if you want to hear me out quickly. I think that one of my favourite rom-coms of the last decade, maybe longer, is Crazy Stupid Love. I'm a big fan of that film. I think that's great. I think that's
But does that count as hyperlink? Because that's just...
No, well, here's my point. Bringing in a rom-com.
No, but here's my... Well, kind of, but here's my point, is that I think that the way that that film wraps up, it intertwines stories and the narrative so well that it almost, without having done it, it becomes that sort of hyperlink in terms of narrative.
It's not as sprawling, but there's the whole bit where they keep referring to Nana, and then it turns out Emma Stone is Nana.
There's only two storylines. I think there might kind of be two and a half.
I don't disagree with Frank that there's not as many, but there is a degree to which you're watching two things happen at the same time. And Ryan Gosling is sort of the bridge between them. And then it turns out that's Steve Carell's daughter.
Unless you count Marissa Tomei then being the teacher at the school, that they go to the PTA meeting and both the parents are there and they're separated, but he's hooked up with the teacher and she's there and it's awkward. So maybe it's
three.
Maybe it's the
brother wanting the nanny. You've got the nanny wanting the dad. You've got Emma Stone.
That doesn't,
you've got
that's
Ryan
not a hyperlink. That's not hyperlink.
No,
that's
I guess not. I guess I'm
lines.
Just trying to justify how I think that the romance could be made more interesting.
That's not the protagonist from... Yes, sorry, go on.
Well, Valentine's Day made $216 million.
It was a big success, and for...
Love Actually only made $250, $260, so it's like it's only just under Love Actually.
And it had a huge... It's Ashton Kutcher, it's Julia Roberts, it's Bradley Cooper, it's fucking Jennifer Garner, it's a huge cast of people, it's Jessica Biel, it's, you know,
Emma Roberts, George
Patrick
Lopez.
Dempsey.
Taylor Lautner and Taylor Swift
when they were dating.
Topher Grace.
And do you know why I know this? Because I fucking watched the movie 2 hours ago, and it's a piece of shit. It's a terrible film. But I thought I might as well watch it. I watched this movie 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours ago. I finished watching this film. And it even to the standard of these kinds of movies, it is a bad movie. Like, it's really unpleasant.
Hold on, because we spoke a few weeks ago. We spoke a few weeks ago about New Year's Eve, and you're like, yeah,
a movie
like
that I do not think is good, but as we were having a conversation about it, I was like, maybe I loved it. Like, I kind of realized how much of it was just sort of there in a way that, like, functionally worked for what that movie was. I was also having champagne on New Year's Eve watching it. Like, it was
Yeah, and you also justified Cats in the same way, so...
Yeah,
again,
but obviously people can justify the Mona Lisa pretty easily as well, so I don't know what your point is there, right? Obviously people...
One's a piece of art and one's a piece of shit.
You're right. Obviously, Mona Lisa has its critics, and we agree that Cats is totemic. But no, I think that New Year's Eve is dumb, but kind of beguiling in a weird way. When the scene that I think I told you about, Frank, was there's a moment where Halle Berry, Robert De Niro, and Hilary Swank are all in the same room. And I'm like, there are five Oscars in this room right now in this movie, and I don't really know what to do with that.
And no one can realise that. They're all like,
and Robert De Niro is just like, they wheeled me onto set in this bed. That is how I am in this movie. I just woke up 10 minutes ago. Like, he refuses to intonate. You know, what's his name? As you say, Ashton Kutcher and Lea Michele are trapped in an elevator, and Lea Michele sings, and it keeps cross-cutting between the two of them, her and Bon Jovi.
She's singing a harmony to his melody, but they're not. She's singing a harmony
by herself.
She's just
showing Ashton Kutcher the song. Seth Meyers and Jessica Biel are trying to have a contest to see who can have the first New Year's baby with another couple. I can't remember who it is, and I'm just like, Seth Meyers is in this movie. That's weird. Yeah. Kind of fascinating, right? Valentine's Day doesn't have any of that. It fucking sucks. It's really bad. It's got Julia Roberts, which kind of helps, and that's about it.
But you know, the scene you were telling me about was when Nicole Kidman?
No, Nicole Kidman.
Sorry. Catwoman. Michelle Pfeiffer. She wants to experience joy.
Zac Efron has to tick off a list of things for her to do before New Year's, so she'll give him tickets to something.
To Bon Jovi.
So he's like, please, please, please let me go see megastar Bon Jovi in the year 2012, obviously, who I'm desperate to see.
It's so weird.
And Katherine Heigl used to date him, and that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
So he's just not that into you, is the one that I think is actually all right. That only meant $181 million.
Yeah. And that's not a Gary Marshall, right? I can't remember who directed that.
Ken Kwapis.
Sure, of course. The great Ken Kwapis.
That's a made-up name.
He's on my...
Keep quapping your hands.
Quap those cheeks.
Jennifer Goodwin. Jennifer Goodwin is the lead.
Jennifer Goodwin's the lead. Justin Long. Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Connelly. A lot of Jennifers in there.
There is. And then there's a Kevin Connelly.
Scarlett Johansson.
E from Thingo.
Bradley
Cooper, but Ben Affleck does the dishes.
I forgot about
that. That's his redemption arc. He does the dishes, and it is
just
the
like
most
Ted Bundy.
Beautiful.
He did the dishes.
Would you say the dishes?
There's a part of me that wishes I had have done my research and watched these films, but I absolutely know I would have hated them.
So. Wikipedia.
You have
not seen any of these. You've not seen any of these.
No, I truly haven't watched New Year's or Valentine's Day because I just know.
But he's just not that into you.
No.
You don't have to tell him like that, Frank. Let him down a little more gently.
Sorry.
Marcus, you're just not his type, okay?
Yeah.
What to expect when you're expecting is terrible. Matthew Morrison from Glee is in it. Yay.
Is Chris Rock in that, or am I making that up?
He is, yeah. The dad's walking group.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that one a few times, actually.
Yeah. It's like,
but
babies.
These are, again, Gary Marshall, who's director of Pretty Woman, a fucking masterpiece, and Princess Diaries, a lesser film, but still a good movie. It's him making Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve, and Mother's Day. Mother's Day, I don't know. I've never been that fucking depressed, so I don't know if I'm going to check that one.
I didn't even
this
know.
This is it. It's scraping. It's like, I don't know. What are we going to do? Thanksgiving? Labor Day weekend? Like, they're just reaching for anything they can at that point. Gary Marshall had to die to get out of making more of them, right? Like, it was just getting so bad.
I don't know the plot of Mother's Day, but it's Jason Sudeikis, Kate Hudson, Jennifer Aniston, and Julia Roberts as, like, the main four. And then Hector Elizondo.
Hector Elizondo is contractually obliged to appear in these movies. Like, he just summons him. Same with Ashton Kutcher,
That's the thing. Sorry to jump in.
No,
but like,
it's all right.
That's what makes these films great, is you look at the cast list and you go, it's got to be all right.
Have thought that with Valentine's Day, and
I know. That's not the truth.
In the first 10 minutes, I turned to Kath and was like, you know, I'm probably just going to go like, yeah, it's a bunch of people I recognize doing silly stuff. It's fine. Mm. But that movie drags. And the Hector Elizondo stuff in Valentine's Day is some of the most successful stuff, and it's still pretty bad, but it's okay, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's there. It's him and Shirley MacLaine, which is very nice, but like, you know, whatever. What I've discovered, having watched these movies and also weirdly watched No Strings Attached recently, a movie I hadn't seen before, which is Ashton and Natalie Portman.
And also, weirdly,
Jake Johnson and Greta Gerwig as the friends who hook up.
But isn't that the same film as the
Friends with Benefits?
Justin Timberlake? Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but it came out the same year.
Because that's the studio thing of where they go, well, we're doing a film about this, and the other studio goes, well, we're going to do the same film and make it better. And
one's like, you know, Up the Duff, and the other one's like, she's pregnant, and they're just
like
released at the same time.
Like in Bugs Life and Ants.
Bugs Life and Ants.
Perfect. A Bug's Life and Ants, 100%. Fucking...
Come on, Tom. If you don't have one, you don't need to do one.
Les Mis and Cats, I don't know. I was just trying to anything.
The point.
But I think we can agree that Cats obviously was counter-programming to Les Mis.
Armageddon and Deep Impact, if you need another example.
We're not talking about pornography here, Frank, all right? Let's just kind of try not keep veering to the
Armageddon,
blue.
Title of your
season. Armageddon it on.
Armageddon.
Yeah.
Armageddon.
Tom, Tom's mad that you beat him to it.
God damn, that's funny. I can't.
But how would you make
saying.
Deep Impact a porno?
Yeah, you're right. There's no way, obviously.
Can't work it out. Yeah,
Cheek Impact. Anyway, I truly can't remember what I was saying.
Deep
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, Sheep Impact. There's the point.
That's the New Zealand one. Ashton Kutcher.
What year is it? You're making a New Zealand
joke about New Zealand.
Timeless joke. Go on.
Ashton Kutcher in No Strings Attached and Valentine's Day and fucking New Year's Eve. He's kind of, if not the best thing, he's the most reliable thing about
these movies.
I'm
sorry, I'm confused when you threw up...
because I don't, it would, because it would feel like a violation of it would be like saying, if I go like, oh, you know, that fucking, the breadsticks were the best thing about the dinner. It's like, it feels wrong saying the best, but everything else was shit and the breadsticks were okay, right? Like, Ashton Kutcher is kind of, truly, he knows what he's doing and he does it in all those movies. You know, it's weird how suited he is to it where you're like, this is a shitty movie and you fit right in, buddy.
Yeah.
Like,
shocker, Ashton Kutcher doing the same thing every time. Right, being consistent.
Truly, but it fits, and a lot of other people are swimming against the tide of it in a way that doesn't. And I think he kind of just goes like, yeah, I know, I'm in a dog shit movie playing the same character every time. I will do it and get that paycheck, and he does, right?
Yeah. I'm Steve Jobs!
Yes, exactly.
I saw the Steve Jobs movie, and I didn't think it was that bad, and I thought he tried his best. That was a valiant effort, to be fair. But then you see the Fassbender version. And you go,
well, God.
Just...
Hollywood doesn't give out participation awards, Frank, so moving on.
Yeah, it does.
Frank's got like three on his wall behind him right there. What, you think he printed those off himself?
Yeah, that'd be crazy if I did that myself.
These movies are weird, and it was a strange topic, but I'm glad we talked about
it. So are you confirming for me that this is sort of done, the era of this is over?
But I wish it wasn't.
It'll be streaming bullshit. It'll drop on Netflix and it'll just be like the week that happened, and it'll be Jonah Hill and Mindy Kaling and fucking Kate Hudson and Jason Momoa and a bunch of and everyone's kind of looking up into the distance like, oh God,
it sounds so legit.
But it's an alien invasion.
Directed that movie last week. It is coming out in April. Okay. Kate Hudson was delightful.
Yeah, wow.
So.
Yeah, no,
I mean, moving forward, it's just easier to slap together some AI of a bunch of celebrities anyway.
Don't even talk about it. Stop it. Don't talk about it. Don't mention the war, you know? It's disgusting.
Don't mention the war.
Well, have you guys had enough?
I guess I'm going to watch Mother's Day. I don't know how to not do it. I think I have to at some point. I truly feel like I do have to now that I've... Because it's part of Gary Marshall's trilogy. He did those three, so...
He did that.
Scarlett Johansson, when she gets naked in the pool and he's just not that into you, was a very formative moment for me. That's all I'll say as well. I don't know if you guys remember that scene. It's great.
Bradley Cooper says, you're a good friend or something.
You're the best... I think you might be the best friend I've ever had. Yeah.
Yeah, it just... I just don't... Yeah, it doesn't really... Like, why does she do that? Why is she that into him?
Yeah.
She's just not that into him.
And then later, when he still has sex with his wife, Scarlett Johansson's like, how dare you? And he's like, yeah, I'm married. Like, that's...
Actually, it's an upsetting scene.
I've got a question before we sign off on this as well, if you want to amuse me. What's the difference between, like, a clear-cut difference between doing a film like this, for example, let's just use Love Actually, where you have 10 different stories, and at some point the narrative intertwines where they're all connected at some axis, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's the difference between having something like that, or you have a sort of a standard action film, or let's use, Tom, I'll say, I don't know how familiar you are with it, Frank, The Matrix Reloaded, right?
Okay.
So you have so many different narratives structurally going on side by side, all trying to achieve a certain goal or whatever, and they do cross over and intertwine at some point. What's the difference in terms of...
Well, it's like asking what's the difference between these and Lord of the Rings, right? And I'd say that exactly they all, for the most part, have a common goal and they have started from a common mutual origin and then they've split off in a different direction. Whereas Hyperlink Cinema, we meet all these people at different points and we're like, how does this all fit in? And the movie slowly shows us, oh, that's that person's brother. Oh, that's that person's...
Sure. And
like,
they're not all going for the same goal. That each, you know, say there's five different storylines, they all have different... arcs and different storylines and different goals, and they just do this, they cross over. Whereas Lord of the Rings or Matrix, they're all going, they're converging to the same.
It's of a piece, right? Like once things start diverging enough. But I think the hyperlink aspect of it is definitely, yes, it's Crash. It's the movie that kind of goes like, we will show you these characters and they will, dare I say, run into each other.
Sure. Okay.
Crash! Thanks. Fuck! Crash into each other.
All right, well, so votes to bring Hyperlink back or to leave Absolutely it dead not. Forever?
I think it'll happen anyway, regardless of what we do.
I think we can make an impact. So I vote that we bring
it back. A deep impact?
Yeah. It's going to be an Armageddon, and that's okay. Armageddon and out of here.
Nice.
Good. Good.
Yeah. And we'll
same
just
so is the listener.
Right? Just let the music play, just shush. Just let me say anything. So Gary Marshall, what a good career he's had.
Yeah, great. Really great. I don't want any more of him. I'm done. Threw in the
pail. I've got some good news for you, Marcus.
Thank you for listening to Throw in the Pail. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Tom.
And that was our...
R.I.P. Gary Marshall.
That was our eulogy for Gary Marshall.
Yeah,
rest in peace, big guy.
I think he made a couple of good movies.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Bye.
Throw in the pail. Ooh.